This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Hour number two of the three-hour extravaganza we call The Usual Suspects. It's the big show. It's Barry. It's Nick. It's Joel. Charlie Palillo just joined us like he does Mondays and Fridays. Now we're back to business as we continue to roll on. As we get ready to do, Barry, you're going to break down. We're going to try and take our best shot at some of these playoff matchups and things like that, too. But we were talking a little bit about the Rockets. But I think that the big thing here that everybody keeps losing sight of, and I know you've heard me say this over and over again, ad nauseum, but people need to really take in this regular season, just like last year, but only better. This team won 60 games already. It's ridiculous how hard that is to do. D'Antoni started talking about it a little bit last night, but it's just so true. It's such a rarity to get a team, other than Michael Jordan's teams when the Bulls broke the record and then the Warriors broke the record of 72-73. Look, this team could feasibly win 65-plus games. It's ridiculous. You got to jump on this bandwagon because things could be a lot worse. For as good as the Spurs have been, San Antonio's a mess right now.
Really is.
They don't know when Kawhi's coming back. Now everybody's chiming in with a take. Tony Parker's now out there saying, I had the same injury as Kawhi, but 100 times or 10 times or whatever it was, worse. Basically calling out Kawhi. And now you got his ex-teammate, Steven Jackson, kind of clamming back, clapping back, saying, whoa, time out, man. Slow down. And so it sounded a little something like this.
Pop is the greatest coach ever. I love Pop. But Pop loves these three guys.
Yeah.
And he's loyal to these three guys before anybody.
And they're loyal to him.
They're definitely loyal to him. But for Tony to come out and make their statement about his hamstring or quadrant was worse than is worse than 100 times worse than Kawhi's is so low. Like it's and the timing of it is even worse. You know, you talk about this meeting. Y'all want him on the team. Is he going to be with us or not? And now, all of a sudden, this last week, you and Ginobili both come out and talk about it at the same time. Like I played on this organization. They came at me sideways before when Pop asked me to say other people was better than me. So I know. And I know how selfish Tony is because he's the reason why we lost in 14 against OKC because he didn't want to pass the ball game six after I had hit six threes in a row.
Shots fired?
Yeah. I didn't even know about that. I didn't know he had that much of a – I don't know if it's a beef, but I didn't know he felt that way about Tony Parker.
Damn.
I know, man.
Now, one thing about Steven Jackson is he ain't holding it back. Exactly what I was thinking.
Man.
Because you figured on one hand he was just going to chime in just because of the Kawhi comment, but to take it to that level too – there's a whole lot of trouble going on in San Antonio right now, and I'm not sure that they're going to work their way out of it.
And the funny thing is, no matter where the San Antonio Spurs seed themselves going into the postseason, we always say what? Never count out Popovich and the Spurs. Never count out Popovich and the Spurs. Guess what? I'm counting the Spurs out this year.
Yeah, Barry and I went back and forth on that, and I was quick to say there was some national guys that were on the bandwagon with me to say, look,
Joel was still a believer. Are you still a believer now?
This one changes things for me.
Okay.
Because that means that there is some stuff going on internally that you can't put a Band-Aid on.
Yeah, but you could tell with the fact that Kawhi was already – there were hints coming out that he was – you know, he was an issue. And if you're an issue, it means you don't want to be here anymore. And that's a lot of turmoil going on, and now it's coming to light. But that's kind of what I was thinking all along is there's a lot going on behind the scenes that's not good for that organization.
For whatever reason, you take a guy that might be the most diminutive, quiet, wanting to stay out of the limelight type guy, and it's becoming more and more of the story where his camp is chiming in and saying he's not being handled right, it's not being dealt with correctly, he's not happy. That's when you're right. There's a flare being sent up somewhere going, either we try and rectify this now or long term, I'm going to be going somewhere else.
And Joel, you've been there. It's really, really difficult to fix a split locker room. And I don't know if it's necessarily split, but it may be the case here in San Antonio.
It's in most cases, it's irreconcilable because of the fact that you're talking about major league egos. When you looked at James and Dwight, it wasn't just a line in the sand on, you know, it was like at practice, if you passed to the wrong guy of the two and you were supposedly on one team, one of the guys, quote unquote, Team Dwight or Team James, it was an issue. It was the two guys themselves not wanting to help the other guy up, but they would help everybody else up if they fell during practice or slap his hand during a free throw. And you're like, you guys are on the same team. I get it if you don't want to do that with opponents, and there's, you know, some opponents that tick you off more than others, like the Rockets and the Clippers early in the season, but you don't do that with the same team.
Wow. Yeah, it's there's trouble. There's trouble in River City. No pun intended. Actually, yeah, it was.
And I don't, rectifying that seems to me, and we've said this before, that Kawhi will end up going somewhere else, but every time you trade a superstar, you can't get equal value in return. I mean, look what happened with Kyrie and the Cavs. I mean, you traded a superstar thinking Isaiah Thomas and company was a good haul coming back.
Nope.
It failed miserably.
Yeah, that was terrible. And I think most people saw that, but I guess they didn't have any other option but to go for Thomas. And now Thomas is, you know, he's not even on the team anymore.
There were other teams throwing things out there, but I think that from the standpoint of what looked really attractive to Cleveland was, not only did Isaiah Thomas come off one hell of a season, but and this is taking the hip injury out of it, but also he was a free agent at the end of the year. So luckily for them, if it didn't work out, either you got all the cap space in the world, or he was just gonna walk. And whether LeBron stayed or not, you could really reset the deck if you had to. So you had a double win from that standpoint. But I think they thought and had every indication to believe that if they weren't going to be better because they got the same kind of player, the pieces like Crowder and the other guys they got in the deal should have catapulted them to having a deeper team, and it didn't work out. So
it's not looking good. That's why I wanted to kind of check and also see, like, who what are the matchups? Because right now I have the Spurs finishing fourth.
Okay. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Still?
And playing the Wolves.
Okay.
If you look at the schedule, the Spurs should go probably 6-2.
You're basing a lot of this on
they'll probably lose to Portland and Houston. That'll be their two remaining losses.
Now keep
losses.
In mind that San Antonio, I mean that Rockets San Antonio game is an ABC game in prime time, and they're going to have everything to play for. Mm-hmm. And the Rockets might be one of those where they just decide to rest people.
I get it.
Okay,
but I don't know that if you're like the games that guys like James Harden will sit out or rest. Are games like Atlanta and Dallas and stuff. I don't know that they're doing that against the Spurs, but when you look at their remaining schedule, they've got Washington, the Thunder, the Rockets, the Clippers. That's a tough.
That's a tough stretch.
That's
right.
A tough stretch. Yep. Then they've got the Lakers, and then Portland, Sacramento, and New Orleans.
But other than that, New Orleans is fighting for their playoff lives too. So you got a lot of good games in there.
Yeah. Yep. So if they go 6-2, then they got the four seed. If they don't, it could be ugly. And I had them initially them losing to Washington on the road,
which is going to be
a Washington
tough game.
Is fading.
And again, you got to figure out
Washington is
Washington's
fading.
Washington's
got
to figure out if John Wall's coming back or not too.
Yeah.
But you look at this. Is it safe to say if it would have happened, it would have happened already? That you just have to basically assume Kawhi's not coming back.
No, he's. I don't think he is. He's not going to play this year. Because by the time he comes back, he's not even going to be in game shape for the playoffs to begin with.
And that's the other thing. A team members only meeting doesn't do anything but call more shade on Kawhi. Doesn't help matters either. That basically said, if it was going to get rectified, it would have gotten rectified right then and there with the players saying, we need you. And if it didn't get rectified there, it ain't happening.
Yeah.
That's crazy, man.
It's ugly. You know, it makes you feel like that the those players got together and said, look, we're just going to count on Kawhi not being here now and in the future because we don't know what's going on with him and his camp. And we'll just, this is our team.
And one other interesting thing, Steven Jackson didn't mention him by name, but this is when he talked about, and it sounds like it's pretty accurate, that Pop had his guys with Parker and Ginobili and Duncan. Think about this. Who came out last week and said, hey, I can't hear about it anymore with Kawhi. We're just going to assume he's not coming back because he already teased us once.
Exactly. Ginobili. Yeah.
So, there's a lot of truth in what Steven Jackson said. I give him credit because he's not holding back, which is good stuff. But San Antonio's in a world of hurt.
They could be. They very well could be.
No doubt about it.
All right, calling all Owls fans. It'll be World Series Champions Day at Rice Baseball as the Rice Owls host crosstown rival Houston on Tuesday, March 27th. at 6:30 p.m. Come out to Reckling Park. Take photos with the Houston Astros and Rice Baseball Championship trophies. Don't miss the first ever chance to take photos with the only two baseball championship trophies in Houston. Tickets start as low as $12. For single game ticket information, call 713-348-OWLS or visit riceowls.com/BSBTicks.
There you have it. We're continuing to roll on. Hour number two is alive and kicking right here on ESPN 97.5.
Well, hello.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
All right, the boys are back. It's Nick, Barry, Joel, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Hey, fellas, I do have a quick update for you. I know that the listeners out there are really intrigued as to what's going on in the Curse Word Bracket Challenge. So I do have an update. And if you have kids in the car, now would be a good time to come back in about 3 minutes when the update is over. Mm-hmm. We rarely do those anymore where we warn people. But, yeah, I'll warn you. It's going to... It won't get grabbed. I'm not going to say anything I can't say on the radio, but still.
You might.
You don't want... That's true.
You might let it fly.
So we're down to the final eight, the elite eight of the curse words. And wow. I can okay. just tell you that there is an upset brewing.
There's a Loyola?
Yeah. The kitty cat. We'll just call it kitty cat.
P-word.
Yeah. Is slightly ahead of the N-word in voting. The F word is by far and away going to win its round. So is the MF word. And the C word is narrowly beating out bitch. So that's the only one I can say.
You got some tight games.
Yeah, that's the only one I can say that's on the list that's okay to say on the radio. But yeah, it's voting is going to end in about an hour. So if you want to vote at Barry is funny or at Barry is funny on Twitter,
upsets can happen in the curse word challenge.
Yes, too. They can. They absolutely can. We may have a 2 seed moving on. What's that about?
Yeah, I definitely can't associate Sister Jean with any of the the underdogs.
Oh God, wouldn't that be great?
Cinderella,
I almost would love to get a press pass and drive to San Antonio. Just to be able to interview her and get her thoughts on the curse word bracket final four.
You think she'd partake?
Hell no.
No.
No way. No. She would probably like splash holy water on
Molly Russell's wart might, but she's not.
It's burning. Do what did you say about her wart?
I said Molly Russell's wart might partake, but not
that
her.
It's massive.
That chin music she's got going is noticeable.
I'll be honest. I've kind of avoided a lot of that. I don't really know. So I didn't really look at it much now
that you just can't have. She is the story within the entire. Whatever happens from this point forward and whoever wins, there's still always the side story or story within the story is still going to be Sister Jean.
And yeah. People on Twitter, like, you say anything bad about her. Ooh, and people boy. Are just jumping to defend her so quickly.
It is the death penalty on Twitter if you dog her, which kind of I almost kind of just want to go do that.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to too, but
now for whatever reason she's given her blessing to the university using her likeness and whatever. They're doing bobbleheads. I think there's something like 23 new t-shirts coming out from several different companies all with her likeness on it. One of them has an empty wheelchair and her turning into the Air Jordan logo as she flies through with a Loyola scarf.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, they're all over the place. I guess at 90 years old, we were talking about this, the three of us in our production meeting, but I guess she loves the university so much. She is the honorary, I mean, she's the team chaplain for this team, for the university. So I guess she figured at my age, I've been there, done that. This is such a great thing for me. I'll just try and make as much money for the university as possible. So go ahead, do what you can to capitalize on it.
Is it because she can't make money because she's a nun?
Is that true?
I don't know. I just made that up.
I was going to say, because if that's true,
I know she can't have
I'm feeling
sex.
Like Nick right now. I was like, I believe you.
I was just going to say, I would have believed
you. I would have gone with that.
If you said it with a straight face, I'm like, oh, that makes sense.
Well, I mean, I know she, you know, she's not having sex because she's a nun. Right. But I don't know about money. I can rule out money for sex, but that's about it. I don't know if the nuns are allowed to make money.
Money for nothing but your ticks for free?
Oh, no.
She got her tickets for the games? Come on. She's going to the Riverwalk?
He said, come on.
Come on. Just go with me on this one.
Okay, I'll go with you. OU Mike has a question, and I don't think you're going to like it.
Great. Let's bring it to go.
Because you were talking Harden and Howard, and he said, was that relationship as bad as Blank and the Bears relationship? I'm sorry, I haven't read a good
Joel hate text in a while.
Yeah, in a long time. And that was OU Mike, so I figured that was okay.
I see the Bear came out of hibernation, by the way.
He did?
As the former clutch, the Bear is now working in marketing at the racetrack.
Oh, really?
He's the one doing interviews on the camel races.
You see him do the...
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
He's shooting backwards half-court shots and trying to make them in the middle of the game. Have you seen that?
Now I will say this. For all the things that you can pick on about the former clutch, the Bear, Bob was damn good at those shots.
Was he?
Yeah, there's not an athletic bone in his body when it comes to like real sports, but boy, he can run. He used to run like marathons.
Throw shade Monday.
No, he used to run marathons in that suit. He'd run Memorial Park in that suit. That's something.
Yeah, that's...
But in terms of like playing basketball and stuff like that, no. But boy, I'll tell you what.
Italian
those backward
guys know
shots,
what that's like.
One-handed, he would make one a night. I would say.
That's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, he's pretty good at it.
Mandy said, I'm pretty sure nuns take a vow of poverty. That's what I thought. Like, well, you know, Sister Jean's broke. But okay. I kind of figured. I remember something about that, but I wasn't 100% sure.
Look, like I said, Nick and I both said, it's believable.
Yeah.
I really would have believed you. I wouldn't have known.
I don't see, other than Joel Osteen, I don't see anybody that really, truly represents the church, like, rolling around in riches unless you're, like, a big-time pastor, right?
Man, have you seen this house? It's ridiculous.
I've heard about it. I haven't seen it.
Here you go. Nuns can't make money unless from charity. They actually have to give up worldly possessions before joining.
Wow.
See? I thought that's... What's going to happen when it comes out that she's sleeping with players? All right. You know what? Sister Jean isn't banging the Loyola team. Stop it. That's not happening that we
sure,
know
that
of.
Wasn't from OU Mike?
No, OU Mike wanted to know when Sister Jean was going to come out and talk about having sex with Donald Trump. That was OU Mike's tweet that I didn't read, that I didn't want to bring up until you did. I had deleted it, thanks to you now. I had to mention it, give him his stupid run.
But, okay, so we all know that's ridiculous to say something like that. But Molly Russell's wart could have been... because of kissing the players at the end of the game, which she does with a hug. And maybe some of the players brought a little something to the party they shouldn't have, and it rubbed off on her chin.
What?
Did you see it? She sits in the chair at the side of the court, and everybody comes over, not only gives her a hug, but they make contact with her face. Some of these players, you don't know how... They might be engaging in some activities. They might have given her that lump on her chin.
Are you suggesting that Sister Jean's mole is actually herpes? Is that what you're suggesting,
I'm
Joseph?
I'm suggesting it.
Joseph.
I'm just throwing possible questionable scenarios out there.
I hope you should tweet that.
Nope. I'm not doing it. That's like that guy, wherever he was, that called her names. Was
it who?
Maine? One of the radio hosts in Maine or something
called her
like a really bad names?
Yeah. Oh, I just finally looked up her picture.
With or without Molly Russell's wart. I think it's in every picture.
Reference.
I think it's in every picture. Molly Russell's wart is from Uncle Buck when John Candy gets into it with the principal of his nephew's school.
Uh-huh.
And the principal has a large growth of some on her chin, and he tries to have a civil conversation, and when it starts going south, he flips a quarter on the desk and he goes, hey, Molly Russell's wart. Here's a quarter. Why don't you go downtown and have a rat lance that thing off your face?
Oh, my.
It's fantastic. Wow. I'm telling you, Uncle Buck's an underrated movie, Nick. You got to check it out on Redbox. It's good stuff.
I might do that. Might do that.
I am going to refrain from commenting.
You, who wanted to tweet out things about her last week.
Who? I did not.
Yes, you did. Did he not say he was going to tweet out things about Sister Jean? And he said he didn't care if he got repercussions and backlash.
Remember. He might have, and
exactly.
I honestly don't remember.
I don't remember either.
Oh,
that does not sound like anything
goodness.
I would do.
Yes, it does.
Not
and you're like, I'm scared.
Years.
I'm doing it.
Not in a million years would I make fun of that sweet, sweet lady. Or if she had a mole on her face, I don't care. She's just a sweet, sweet woman.
You better start laughing. All right. We'll be
I'm
back.
Not laughing.
We're at the midway point.
Sweet lady.
We'll be back with the second half in just mere minutes. But right now, I want to tell you about Texas Can Academies. I've been telling you about them for quite a while. It's a great program here in the Houston area where your donations help kids trying to get a second chance to get their high school education. It's fantastic. If because of the hurricane or otherwise, you have a vehicle laying around, it might not even be working anymore, and you just want to get rid of it, but you don't want to pay any more money than it's already cost you by getting someone to tow it away, you don't have to. All you got to do is pick up the phone and call 713-225-4226 or log on to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Tell them what you got. Tell them where you live. They do the rest. They come to you with a tow truck. They take it away. They do all the paperwork. You get a nice tax deduction. You mentioned ESPN 97.5. You also get a $50 gift card. That's when the process really begins because your donation is turned into resources for these kids so that they don't have distractions when they're trying to get their degree. It's simple. If the kids have an empty stomach or they can't read their books or they're having a hard time finding transportation to get to school or so many of the things that can be distractions are taken care of because of your donations, then they can go on and just study the books. That means they get eyeglasses, they get warm meals, they get bus fare, and they get book money so that they don't have to worry about being without. They can just focus on their studies. It's a great program, and it all happens right here in the Houston area. Call 713-225-4226. Log on to HoustonCarsForKids.com, and as always, right off the car, not the kid.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Second half of the big show. Nick, Barry, Joel, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. That's right, I said the big show, and I mean it. So we continue to move and groove. Baseball we've covered. NCAAs to some degree we covered. Covered the Rockets. Covered the NBA.
What did we talk about baseball-wise? Oh,
I was going to say, I forgot already.
Chucky P got us into some baseball talk.
But there was a couple things I wanted to mention.
Well,
on
let's
baseball.
Do it.
Because we'll talk Odell Beckham Jr. because we've got a couple of texts where somebody said OBJ supposedly on the trade blocks. Where do you think he lands? That was from JJ. And somebody else said, what do you think it's going to take to get Odell Beckham Jr. from the Giants? So we're going to talk about that in a second. But since you mentioned baseball, and you know that's my hot button, that's how you warm me up. There was an article that came out that said Gurriel might not actually need to be on the DL.
That's great.
Much, if at all. So that is good news because that's a guy that, you know, you were counting on in the lineup, and moving Marwin Gonzalez from left field to have him play first can expose them a little bit at the corner position. But yeah, they're saying that he may actually be able to start the season not on the DL, that he's actually ahead of schedule. So that's good news if you're
because we had been guesstimating when we came back. You had him what? You had him?
I had him
June 1, didn't you?
Mid-May.
Okay.
End of April, beginning of May, somewhere in there, because of needing the 5-game suspension, and you figure if it takes a little long, because you would have to assume everything would go perfectly for him to be back after the 10 days and then the 5 days, and he's going to take time to round into shape. So I was saying it's going to be sometime in May before you see him performing up to last year's levels, because he doesn't have a spring either. But yeah, the article was from The Score, and they basically said with his recovery ahead of schedule, he'll need to show he's physically ready to swing, but he's already taking BP. The AJ Hinch said the next 2 days of hitting off the high velocity machines will be a big test for him.
That's awesome.
He's already hitting off. Yeah,
he's already hitting. I'm fine with whenever he comes back now. That's a great sign if you're the Astros. And that kind of rolls us into them solidifying their roster too.
Yep.
A little bit of a surprise to you?
Very big surprise. Cause there's guys
makes the team and the great White goes down.
Yeah, they sent Kemp and White down. Reed, yeah, that does surprise me. But the injury, him coming, Gurriel coming back from the injury surprises me too, because other guys have had this. I think Bagwell had it, Giancarlo Stanton had it, and their return, it took longer. So kind of a good sign that he's coming back early. You just hope they don't rush him back too soon. But and they don't need to. It's not like, you know, they're, it's a long-ass season. They're, if he has to sit out until May, they'll be fine. Speaking of that, Madison Bumgarner on the shelf until probably June.
How about that?
You know, I'm putting together my preview. My AL preview will be posted this week on SportsMap for the 2018 baseball season. My NL preview will be posted next week. And I legit had the Giants as a team that there. I figured there were going to be about five teams in the playoff mix, for the wild card mix in the NL. And the Giants could be one of those teams. But if they're missing Madison Bumgarner through June,
I don't think it's happening. Last preseason start before he starts opening day, takes a liner off of his pitching hand. He needs screws in the pinky finger knuckle of his pitching hand. So it's 6 to 8 weeks is what they're trying to diagnose it as. Also, in his last start, Chris Sale from the Red Sox, line drive off of his hip. So now he's questionable for opening day.
King Felix, first outing for Seattle, took one off the arm, but he's all right now, I believe.
I think he's close to being okay for opening day.
He's going to start, yeah.
But there was one other one, too, that happened, and you're like, my God, this is like the NBA. All of a sudden, the injuries are happening in droves, and be careful if you are a big-time player because you may be in line.
It's scary because you've got to have those guys out there building up their pitch count to get ready for the season. So they've got to be out there. It's not like... You know, it's not like a position player where you can just let Altuve take a few swings here and there and he's ready to go. Those pitchers have to get into that everyday routine and be ready to go for opening day. So they've got to build up the innings and the arm strength that they haven't been using in the offseason. So you got to run them out there. It's a risk you take for sure.
Absolutely. So, yeah, at least with all things being considered, to have Gurriel back ahead of schedule and no other major injuries, the only kind of suspense that was going around with the team was who was going to be on the final roster. Mm-hmm. Hinch has already done that, even though he contemplated waiting till after these two games against the Brewers here the next two nights at Minute Maid as kind of like the final precursor to the start of the season before they head to Arlington. But look, the games aren't important here, and I know that they're going to – I think White still and Kemp are going to be with the team for these two games before they go to the minor league camp. I think that's what Hinch had said. But –
A lot of folks were speculating Kemp would make the team. I mean,
a lot of people thought so, yeah. Yeah, so very interesting stuff there, but good to know that Vegas' final odds came out before the season starts. The two teams at 11-2 are the Astros and the Dodgers.
Okay.
And then falling under them from 6-1 to 11-1 would be then the Yankees, the
Nationals.
Cubs, the Nationals, and the Indians. Not in that specific order,
okay,
but all those teams kind of speckled or scattered in there between 6-1 and 11-1. But 11-2 odds for both the Dodgers and the Astros.
I haven't broken down my picks yet, but I'll tell you what. I almost just don't want to pick the Astros. I want them to win. Obviously, as a baseball fan and as a fan of the team, I want them to win. But you know how rare it is for a team to repeat? Look how everyone thought that the Cubs were unbeatable after winning the World Series. It was like the Cubs, oh, there's no way that they lose again for three or four more years. And then Arrieta's velocity started to dip. They had a few injuries. It's so hard. And, you know, there was a guy on, I forget what show it was on the MLB Network, but he was talking about the fact that they had done so well the previous year. I think it was the Rockies, that they felt like they were unbeatable. And then they came in and got their ass whooped for most of the year. And it happens. You tend to get over cocky. And right now, everyone thinks that the Astros are just the cream of the crop and can't be beat. And there's teams like the Yankees that are like, I don't know. You've got the runner-up of the MVP in the AL. You just added the NL MVP. Don't forget, the guy that no one's talking about on this team, you mark my words, if he stays healthy, he's going to be one of those keys that everyone forgets about and has already forgotten about. But the fact that they have Sonny Gray on that staff,
yeah,
I mean, everybody's talking about the big arms and, you know, 100 miles an hour here and there, but that's a guy that could go out and win 20 games
in
the Bronx for that team and fly under the radar in doing so.
And let's also not forget that the Astros have had Aprils before where they just got into a swoon that it took them a while to get out of, and that was their doomsday, that they never could quite get over the hump and get back from those problems. So issues do pop up, and slumps do happen. And so, like you said, a sophomore slump in championships, you know, you're not going to be punished because you did win one, but you got to be careful, because as much as I saw the comparisons of, look, they lost Beltran and then they lost a couple relievers, but they added a couple relievers and they added Garrett Cole, they should be a better team than they were predicting.
It's crazy. This
they
team
won 101
is better,
games last year.
No doubt.
And everybody said, are they going to win more this year? But you also have to factor in, like you said, the Yankees are better in the American League. The Red Sox are better for adding some guys in the American League. So it's not just that fact that you've improved your team a little bit. It's the competition you're playing against as well.
It's scary to think that they are a better team. But I mean, you know, you look at a team like the Angels. I'll tell you right now, guys, don't sleep on the Angels.
Even with Ohtani having problems, they got a lot of talent on that team.
Somebody texted and said, where do you have the Phillies after the Arrieta signing?
I don't think that's that big of a deal.
No?
No.
I'm going to tell you right now that if that Mets rotation stays healthy, I think that the Mets will compete for a wild card. But don't be surprised if Philly ends up second in that division.
They got a good young squad in the wild card hunt
until the last month of the season. I could see Philly, with the bats that they've added, they've got some help in the bullpen now. They added
that
Arrieta.
That kid they brought up last year was a house of fire for them, too.
Yeah, I honestly think that you might see a team like that. And Gabe Kapler is going to manage differently. He's already said that, but he's a guy that looks at things differently. He wants to handle things differently. Don't be surprised that you hear Philly all year until about August, and then they just fade because they're young.
Yeah. Nick, if you need supplements, wait till Gabe Kapler comes to town. You can ask him some questions.
That dude is yoked.
He is just ripped up.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to continue to roll on. It's more of the usual suspects. Don't go anywhere, right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Knee deep in the big show. It's a Monday, and we are rolling. It's Nick, Barry, Joel, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. We kind of were freelancing around the sports world. Some of the news of the day, Michael Bennett has turned himself into authorities here in Houston based on these allegations and the warrant for his arrest stemming from the Super Bowl here almost 2 years ago. In which he supposedly assaulted a paraplegic security guard at NRG.
Elderly,
too, yep. So we'll see. I had heard also that he was going to employ the services of one Rusty Harden to represent him, which isn't shocking.
Nope. If you got the money, it's a
Rusty's
smart
your
move.
Guy.
Yep.
He has proven with Roger Clemens and Steve Francis and everybody else that he's...
Didn't he represent the lady that drove cross-country, the astronaut? Or was it the lady that backed over her husband in the circle drive at some hotel?
I know both stories. I don't know if
you... Yeah, exactly.
There.
I remember both
stories. Remember the one, like, she backed up?
Oh, no,
that was
remember
Mercedes,
the story.
The Mercedes
yeah, she
lady.
Kept,
yes.
Yeah, rolling
she
over her husband.
Driving in a circle.
But said it was an accident.
Like a roundabout. Yeah. It was an accident. I didn't mean to run his ass over 19 times. His sorry ass. I didn't mean it. Like, whoa, there's a lot of anger. And 19 times isn't an accident, ma'am. Didn't she get off?
I think so.
Yeah, it's... He's a good one.
Technicalities in the courtroom or crazy. Just check OJ. Very sad news in the G League. We were talking about this in our production meeting this morning. But a gentleman by the name of Zeke Upshaw, who was a guard on the Grand Rapids Drive in the G League, collapsed with just seconds to go in the game last night, was rushed to a hospital, and his mom posted right before we went on the air that even with all the efforts of all of the fine medical staff at the hospital and otherwise, he's passed away.
Yeah.
very, very sad, sad story. They're associating it with some sort of heart failure or cardiovascular issues. KJ McDaniels, his teammate, the former Rocket on that squad for the Grand Rapids Drive. So thoughts and prayers out there. Very sad news there. And then, Barry, the stuff that you mentioned earlier, this back and forth going on with Odell Beckham Jr.
It's crazy.
We talked about it when it popped up, the video popped up a few weeks ago with him supposedly at Fashion Week in Paris, and he ends up with this model, and they post this video where
he's eating
pizza, and he claims it's crust, but a lot of people say it sure does look like a funny cigarette, and then at the same time, she's got lines of white powdery substances with a credit card, but
that wasn't he was holding a piece of crust that was,
which he did say that, or they said that's what it was,
and she had Parmesan.
Just Parmesan was up, awfully powdery sugary,
chopped up in a line.
I would have been more apt to say, "Hey, we're having crepes in Paris."
Hey, I mean, I've snorted chocolate. Stranger things have happened. She maybe snorts her Parmesan. Maybe that's how she takes her cheese.
Now there are two different camps within the Giants ownership camp as to what to do next with Odell Beckham Jr. based on all of this stuff. There is the Mara camp, when he was asked about OBJ, said he's tired of answering the questions. No one's untouchable on his team, and he knows what he has to do. Then other co-owner Steve Tisch said today he hopes that OBJ remains a Giant for years to come. He said his contract will be negotiated at the appropriate time. So,
and that, I mean,
it's not a good look.
Appropriate time is a great way to say, to leave it wide open. I mean, it's such a political answer to say, well, what is the appropriate time? Is it when it ends? Is it during the off season? Is it before the season starts? What do you mean by appropriate time? You answered a question with no substance whatsoever in the answer.
But because of the way John Mara started it out by commenting on everything that's gone down with more of a hard line approach, of course, now everyone's rumor mill is churning with, sure, what's it going to take to get OBJ?
And I think it starts at a first-round pick, and that's what the report is that it would start at a first-round. Start
at, I think, a first-round pick. It's got to be more pick than that. I think whatever you get, unless it's a top-five pick, and even there, I'm not sure it's enough. But I think just on proven track record of and talent alone, I think you got to give more than just a first-round pick to get him.
Where do you have an idea of who you think might be?
I think that for sure you're right. It has to involve a pretty good first-round pick, but I think there's got to be a decent to above-average player involved too. I just think that the package has to be such, and we talked about this in basketball. It's different in football to some degree, but it's still trading a superstar and trying to get equal value in return is going to be really tough. And the team that's trading with you normally figures you're desperate. You have to move this player, or it's more on you to try and get rid of this player where they don't have to give up as much, so they're going to try and bargain you down and negotiate. But I just feel like he's proven enough, and there's still enough upside with him too where he could still get better. And he's one of the best five receivers in the game, maybe.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's going to get upwards of $80 to $85 million. I mean, yeah, and that's going to put him top three. Mike Evans is one at 82 and a half. DeAndre Hopkins is two at 81. He's going to get somewhere in there.
And you know that there's still Antonio Browns and Julio Jones, yeah, and guys like that. So, yeah, I mean, whether you say he's top five or not, he's in that category to where if you're willing to pay him and you're okay with paying him, I think a first rounder and a player gets you there. I'm just not sure who that player would be.
I feel like deep down, the owner, the Giants owner, I mean, he really does want to keep him on the squad, but at the same time, it's, you know, I am the owner, and, you know, this is how it's going to go down. He's playing under an $8.5 million fifth-year option right now, and he wants to get paid, but
he wants to also be the highest-paid player in football.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's an athlete, no question.
Not receiver. He wants to be the highest-paid player. He wants quarterback money.
I hate when players go out and do that. I mean, just, I mean, I guess you do kind of have to say
it. Stay in your lane, though.
And here's the other tricky thing, Nick. If it was one owner, it'd be one thing. But I know friends of mine that are coaches and other, and also players that say, for as much as a pain in the ass a Mark Cuban or a Les Alexander, guys like that could be, at least there's only one owner. But when you're dealing with multiples, it's their ego against each other as well as it is in the situation,
right,
that starts to come into play. So with OBJ, is it Tisch? Is it Mara? Is it both? If they're not on the same page, then it's almost ridiculous to try and communicate with ownership because you're dealing with two different personalities and two different opinions.
And Mara said he's not shopping him, but he's certainly not untouchable. So what does that mean? Does he want a team to approach them?
Make me an offer I can't
refuse. I think that's part of it, but I think part of it might be posturing for negotiations and sending a message that, hey, I know you want the largest contract in the NFL, or you want to be this guy and that, but to us, you're not untouchable. So don't come to the negotiating table thinking that, because we would trade you for the right deal. And that's probably what a lot of his words were. And then it allows the Giants ownership to kind of play good cop, bad cop, right? So you got one owner saying, hey, you're not untouchable. We'll trade you if the right deal comes along. Then you got another owner, you know, saying, no, we want him on the team. So they're able to have this dynamic, which is going to set up a negotiating stance that gives them some favorability. Because right now, they really wouldn't have any other than his attitude. You could go in and say, look, you're a headache off the field. You're a headache. When you're not between the lines, you're a headache for us. And that's just not a good stance to negotiate from. So at least this way, they've created some sort of framework for.
Yeah, essentially, what it means is we've coddled you through the boating trip on the off week in the playoffs. We coddled you through the battle with the kicking net. We've coddled you through so many things and been so pro OBJ that this sends the message: those days are done. We're tired of this crap, and it's got to stop. So I think that's what the message was there. We'll see how it plays out. But sure, there's plenty of teams. Of course, we've got a lot of you that are chiming in. J.J. Watt in a first-round pick, and you can get OBJ.
No. You've got to take into account several things when you're signing a guy like that, and one of them is salary cap.
Right.
I'll tell you, there's a team that it might be too much to give up their pick, but they've got the cap room.
Cleveland?
No. Colts?
No.
They've got the cap room. They've got the person to get him the ball. They do need an offensive line, but
go ahead and stab them in the grapes with an ice pick. Send them to Indy.
Yeah, they've got the room, but there's a lot of teams that need wide receiver help in NFL. Yeah. A lot of teams, and another one of those teams that needs help that has two first round picks is the Bills.
Yeah,
and the Bills might not want to trade their high end pick at 12, but if they could give up 22, but even if you had to give up 12, you've still got a first round pick.
But you want a quarterback of the future. McCarron's a short term band aid.
Well, I'm saying you can do it. I mean, those are teams. They've got two picks in the first round to be able to make that move.
There you have it. And you know what else you can do? You can do Rocket season tickets right now, and you can get one hell of a deal. Season tickets for next season are on sale at all price ranges, and so you can call or you can get online at rockets.com, and you can get in touch with a ticket rep that's going to try and give you every available seating option for you for season tickets, and you can get on board. But there is one special deal within the deal, which will allow you to lock in the same price for your tickets for the next 3 years with no price increases. We just got done talking earlier in the show how when teams get successful and start winning games, they can jack up the prices. Well, this isn't going to happen with the Rockets if you get club seats. Club seats right now are available for the next 3 years at the same price with no increases. Guaranteed, you will not have any price increases for the next 3 years if you lock in. All you got to do is go to rockets.com or call 713-627-DUNK. Get a ticket rep on the phone or get in touch with someone via the internet, and they'll walk you through how this plan works. And not only do you get the same ticket price for the next 3 years, but you get playoff priority for this year's playoff tickets. You know how hot a commodity those tickets are going to be, how difficult it's going to be to get tickets for those games, especially as they progress in the playoffs. Well, you don't have to worry about it. You get this plan where you lock in for the next 3 years, and you know they're going to be good. They're going to re-sign Chris Paul, and this team's going to compete for the next 3 years. Well, you get those tickets, which are valuable all in itself, but then you get priority for playoff tickets as well. It's a great deal. It's three special seasons, one special price, and the ability to get playoff tickets for this year. Check them out, rockets.com or 713-627-DUNK.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.